Okay, good morning, everyone. We're in Perek Daled. The topic of yesterday was Eved Hashem, to be a servant of Hashem. So we say that when Malchus, when royalty is in its perfect state, the entire nation are servants to the king, as they dedicate all their efforts for the king. And he says, the truth is, the real servant here isn't the servant as much as it is the melech, because the king is so... has to make his whole life be for the needs of the people. That's why we said the king can't give away his own honor, because it's not his honor. So he's primarily obliged to the people. On the other hand, when the people themselves become servants to the king, they themselves become kings, as was explained in the Gemara Shavuos, that says a servant of a king is like a king. So the same thing, the fact that a Jew is subservient to Hashem, and we accept his yoke upon us, then the name Yehudi, which has Hashem's name, really comes to the forefront. So really, we spent a lot of time talking about that yesterday, how being a servant is really a very positive accolade for a person, like Moshe Rabbeinu was a servant of Hashem. And we said mitzvahs are the manifestation of our service to God. And the greatest mitzvah that shows that manifestation is Shabbos, because everything we do is controlled by Hashem on Shabbos. And that's really what the ultimate of a servant is. He doesn't lift up a finger without it being with the permission of the king. And again, this is all a very positive thing, because if you're the servant of the king, you're like the king. You've got that connection to the king. You make the king be what the king is. If you don't do what the king wants, and you're a glaring misshape of what should be so. Like we gave the example of the table. If one of the legs of the table don't want to act like a table, then there's a great pgam, a great blemish in the table that it's not acting the way it should. And a Jew not behaving the way he should is a great blemish of Hashem's realm. So, and certainly when all the servants do what the king wants, the king is stronger and is able to do more for the realm. We all function as one powerful group. So we're on page Lamed Hey, the second paragraph now. He goes into more detail as how Shabbos defines our servitude more than anything else. Ubifrat Masha Shabbos Mana Hi Meisleis. And especially the fact that Shabbos is a 24-hour period. What does that mean? V'yesh l'kasher zeh, imashe kosa Rambam b'sefer mitzvahs b'mitzvahs ha'tefillah. If you look at the Rambam in his Law of Mitzvahs, his Book of Mitzvahs, we discuss the mitzvah of tefillah. Sheshitas ha'Rambam, the position of the Rambam is, sheish mitzvah d'oraisa l'ispalo. There's a biblical mitzvah to pray, as it says, Vavatem es Hashem Elokechem, you should serve Hashem your God. Uzmana b'chol yom. And the Rambam says, and the time frame for the mitzvah is every day. And the time frame is every day. So, v'hikshu Ramban. So Ramban asks, Afilim nemer sheishchiyav d'oraisa l'ispala. Even if you're going to say there's a biblical requirement to pray, the Ramban asks, Heicha nizkar hashir shel pam bayom. Where does the Rambam get the idea, the measurement of once a day? In other words, it's a biblical mitzvah. Okay, where does the Torah say that you do it every day? Even if you say, according to the Rambam, that it's once a day. Okay, that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do it, which others disagree. Ramban disagrees. He says it's not a mitzvah every day. It's under certain situations. The question is, where does the Rambam know from the Torah that it's once a day? Once a week, maybe. Once a month. Where's this once a day? So what must we say is pshat in the Rambam? V'amnam mavur v'das ha-Rambam. We have to explain according to the opinion of the Rambam. Shagalgal v'ahekev ayesori ha-shom sheish b'tev ha-olam v'agalgal yomi. When we look at the circle, the units, the cycles, the fundamental complete cycle that exists in a natural state of the world is a daily cycle. You know, you've got to put things in life are cyclical in nature. What's the most basic cycle? The most basic cycle is a day. Because that's the time it takes for the earth to rotate once on its axis. So if that's the most basic cycle, you know, once we finish that cycle, we get to the next cycle, to the next cycle. And the Rambam says, "Umeila, hu shim yesh chiyuv d'orais l'spal." So if there is a biblical law to pray, then zman hu l'chol ha'pachas b'meshach ha'hekef ha'yesod v'ashom, then its time frame should at least be the time for what? For one cycle. It should always be one prayer in one cycle. A cycle shouldn't go by without prayer. And that's the logic for once a day, according to the Rambam. Okay, we don't care about prayer per se for our discussion right now. What you do see is that a day is considered an entire cycle. That's what the point is trying to get out. So therefore, v'chein linyan Shabbos kodesh, therefore when we talk about Shabbos, kiyum zeh shel ha'avdus, this fulfillment of servitude, and surrendering actively in an action to Hashem, Yeshol Hekef Shalem Al Yedeza Shiyam Shalem. So we have a complete cycle by virtue of the fact that it's an entire day. It's not like we're servants of God for an hour, for an afternoon. It's an entire cycle. Right? Veina Kishar Mitzvahs, and that's not like other mitzvahs. There's no mitzvah that lasts a day. Even though every other mitzvah will have surrendering and servitude during the time of the mitzvah, you're putting on tefillin, so the tefillin is servitude for the time you're putting on the tefillin. But the ena el zman ki mitzvah, it's only while you're doing the mitzvah. But the Shabbos is a complete cycle of servitude. Now it's interesting, this week's parsha, what do you see? You see, in certain aspects, that's what Shemitah is in a bigger cycle. Shemitah is the seventh year the land lays fallow. So on a certain level, not on a total level, because you're obviously you're allowed to do certain work, most work during the 7 years. But you find out that there's mamish, you can't make al parnos during Shemitah. And really the whole Shemitah year was designed to sit and learn Torah. Every seventh year was mamish, a sabbatical. You mamish did not work, and people could go into your fields and take what they wanted. You know, and you were mamish surrendering for a year, right? So that's an amazing manifestation. And then when you came to the Yovel, which was every 50th year, then all lands returned back to their original owners. Right, even a greater manifestation of that. Maybe you had your own properties that you bought, now you have to give it back. So these are all further examples of this, where there's aspects of surrendering, but still in all, Shabbos is still, every movement is dictated. You can't lift a finger without God's permission for Shabbos. And that is the ultimate of servitude. And we should be happy. We should be happy that we are expressing that servitude to Hashem. Adam Elkaim is kol mitzvahs. A person is all the mitzvahs. All 612 mitzvahs. Adayin ein zoho chacha shu kavav l'Hashem Yisroch b'ikr mitzioso. That doesn't prove... What? You know, I meant what I said. Okay. It's still no proof that he is bent over and subservient totally to God in his reality. Raka Shabbos, but now when you come to Shabbos 613, Shia is Batlus HaGemura Vashvisa Mikol Nyene Olam, which is total nullification and surrendering to God, and total rest from all worldly and physical activities. Yamagala Al Kol Avodas Adam. It reveals everything about the service of Hashem, of the man. Shemasru L'Hashem Yisbarach, he's totally given over and dedicated to Hashem. Right? No other mitzvah means, you know, it could be none of the other mitzvahs was such a interference with my life. It's possible you could do any other mitzvah and it doesn't really interfere with your life. Could be they do interfere with your life, but not always. You know, could be, you know, it's no problem. No problem for me with tefillin. It's not a major interference. I'm still going to work today. Right? Okay, so I davened Hashem. Big deal. So I spent an hour. Okay. Every Jew does that. It's not a major. I mean, it's a bit, but you know, any mitzvah only takes up so much time. So there's all kinds of things in our lives will that interfere with our lives? Okay, so it's a little bit of, but here it's like the whole day. It's like the whole day. You got to do everything God says for you to do. So that clearly says you're allowing God to interfere with your life, and you're allowing God to boss you around. And that means really, those are the negative ways of looking at it. The positive ways of looking at it, I'm totally dedicated to Hashem. It's total dedication. You know, for example, you know, Lo Aleinu shouldn't be, right? When a person's parent is sick, right? So what do? They stop everything, right? Whether they sit by the bedside, wait for them to die, right? Okay, listen, I'm not necessarily espousing that's the way to go. I mean, I'm not going to give a public opinion on that. It's too sensitive for people. But one thing you see, nobody feels that they're being interfered with. Come on, you've been doing it for 2 days already. Right? No, I got to stay. Right? Because they're totally dedicated to their parent. Because they know how dedicated their parent was to them. Would anybody say they're feeling infringed? That the way, you know, they're sitting with their parent and they don't know, it could be another 24 hours. So we're staying. There's going to be one sibling there. No one's, right? And they don't feel they're infringed. On the other hand, if they had a bad relationship with their parent, they ain't sitting around at all. You let me know. Let me know. Let me know when the funeral is. I'll be there for an hour. I'm going back to work. Right? So you have relationships like that. But if somebody sits there, mamish, to the very end, that means, you know, they're totally dedicated. They don't feel it's a confinement. So the same thing, Baruch Hashem, in a living sense with Shabbos. It's the same way. A Jew who keeps the Shabbos, the emes, in the right way for the whole 24 hours. For the whole 24 hours, you're living like whatever Hashem tells me. It's like a servant's waiting for the next order. Your wish is my command. So whatever what Shabbos is, that's what I'm looking forward to do. Okay? And for the whole day. So that really defines the Jew. How much you're giving over of yourself. Just like we said before. Shiba'olam ha-Yehudi, machnas Yehudi ha-Neman la-Torah. Mechanim Yehudi. Without these guys, Shiva Olam HaYehudi, Mechanim Yehudi HaNeman LaTorah Shomer Shabbos. That in the Jewish world, what nickname do we give to a true, trusted Jew? A real Yid, who's totally dedicated? You want to say he's really frum. What's the term we always call such a person? A Shomer Shabbos Yid. That's always the defining aspect in so many ways. If you want to say, you know, what kind of Jew is he? So you want to give him the nicest title to say he's a Shomer Shabbos Jew. Now that's been diluted, unfortunately. Calling you a Shomer Shabbos Jew now has been diluted. Right? But the real aspect, but that is really, if you really want to say he's dedicated to Torah, why does he say he's a Shomer Shabbos Jew? Shezuba emes klolus metzias yehudi, because this is an all-encompassing definition of the reality of the Jew. Sheshovisu mikol metzias olam, because he can rest from all reality of this world, ubatal kulu klapi bora, and he's totally nullified before his creator. Right? So that's why, for example, in general, in a normal world, right, when you want to understand, you know, can you eat in a Jew's house? You know, okay, I'm not talking with a Baal Tshuva community, and we have to extend ourselves a little. But if you're going, let's say you're just in a stomach community, you don't know who's who, you don't know what's what. You know, if a Jew isn't Shomer Shabbos, you pretty much wouldn't eat in his house. Even if they kosher their house. Okay, there's exceptions, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, that's always been the term, is he a Shomer Shabbos Jew? Why? Because if he's a Shomer Shabbos Jew, what does it mean? He gives his life totally for Hashem. Right? That means he doesn't come first. Hashem comes first. The point is, once a week, he totally gives himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he's totally giving himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you think his kashrus isn't going to be good? How could it be? I mean, the guy's a successful businessman, and he's losing big money not working on Shabbos. I mean, he's losing big money on Shabbos. And whatever he does everything the way what Hashem tells him to do. But which mitzvah is more restrictive if you're doing it properly, Shabbos or Kashrus? Shabbos. Because Kashrus is only when I eat. How often do you eat already? How many hours a day? Not even 1 hour a day do you eat. It's not even 1 hour. For some people, it's maybe even a half an hour. Right? Even for gluttons, how long could it be? I mean, how long can a glutton stretch it out already? 2 hours. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, actual eating, actual chewing food, ingesting into the mouth. You know, it can't be, it's not that long. One thing, it's not as long as Shabbos. Right? So if on Shabbos you allow God to dictate your every thought, everything that comes out of your mouth, right? Forget about Lashon Hara. Forget about Lashon Hara. Even regular Lashon. The Navi says you're not allowed to talk on Shabbos what you would normally are allowed to talk about on Friday. That's the halacha. I'm afraid to say that one in shul. Right? But that's mamish the halacha. So let's say, what am I allowed to say on Friday? On Friday, I'm allowed to say, okay, let's say you're a businessman. So you're allowed to say, you know, the interest rates have gone up. You're allowed to say that on Friday, because as a businessman, you got to know, you have to decide how much money can we borrow, how much money can we lend, can we do this deal? You're allowed. It's even a mitzvah, because that's making your pronosis, right? You say that on Shabbos. What are you talking about that on Shabbos for? Your mamash not allowed to say it on Shabbos. If you say that, you know, you're violating your Shmiras Shabbos. You're violating your keeping the Shabbos. Because interest rates have nothing to do with Shabbos. Right? You understand? So you can't even say that. You can't talk about, what can you talk about on Shabbos? So you can go over your Rambams, right? Go over your Rambams. You could talk to your children. How was school? You have friends? You having a problem with your friends? Tell me about the problems with your friends. You could talk about real things. And the truth of the matter is, when you start thinking about it, really that's the stuff you should be talking about during the week as well. But during the week, you're allowed to talk business. Your mom is allowed to talk if it pertains. I'm saying, not Stom shooting the breeze. You know, what do you think interest rates are going to be? You don't have a penny to your name. You know, but I'm saying, you're entitled to talk about that because it's business. You need to talk business because you're making a living. You got to talk about, you know, you're a farmer. Ooh, is it going to rain this week? Is it not going to rain this week? You know, what's the future going to be regarding this crop? Is going to be worth a lot this year? Should I plant this? Should I plant that? You're all allowed to say that on Wednesday, but your mamish can't say that on Shabbos. So you're so restricted. You're not allowed to run on Shabbos. Unless it's mamish for a mitzvah that you'd lose if you didn't run. You're not allowed to go jogging on Shabbos. Mamish, not allowed to go jogging on Shabbos. You're allowed to jog 6 days a week. You can run. You can run a whole week long. Shabbos, you have to walk. Yeah, at a reasonable pace. I mean, you can walk quickly. You can walk briskly to shul. But you don't go jog. You don't put on your gym suit and start jogging on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, you don't have to worry about your health. Not even your health you don't worry about on Shabbos, to that extent. Of course, you're not going to eat foods that are negative to you. Right? So mamish, you see how God's got you, you're controlled every step of the way. Mamish, everything. So now, you think such a person is going to buy a piece of treif meat? He's already given up financially. I mean, he's losing tons financially. So now, treif meat, kosher meat. Few bucks, it doesn't matter. You've given away 1/7 of your parnassah already, right? So what are you gonna? So of course you're gonna keep kosher. Of course you're gonna keep kosher, right? So it's funny now. It's almost reversed. So theoretically, so if a person doesn't keep Shabbos, what are the odds that they're really keeping kosher? Because if you're not keeping Shabbos, how do we know you're totally given over to God yet? So how do we know that when some milk will fall into the meat, you know, and you have guests and you don't want to be embarrassed? So how do we know you're going to call the rabbi and ask if it's kosher or not? How do we know? Right? Or how upset, you know, if now that you've learned that, you know, even in, you know, the many of the lettuces, you have to check for bugs. Yeah, I'll tell them I checked. They won't know the difference. You know, you got to mamish be, you got to be totally given over to God. Right. So now what happens now? So unfortunately, the term Shomer Shabbos has become watered down. Because now a Jew, if he just doesn't work at his business, he's called a Shomer Shabbos. Doesn't drive a car publicly, a Shomer Shabbos. In other words, he does the halachas maybe, but he sleeps the whole Shabbos. You understand why now you can't sleep. I'm not saying you can't sleep another half hour on Friday night. No, it's okay. You can sleep another half hour, another hour. Your mom is getting 3-4 hours a night. Okay, you can sleep 7 hours. You can sleep 7 hours. It's okay. 8 hours. You know, so you go to bed at 10 o'clock, go to bed at 11 o'clock, get up at 7. Okay, we'll let you sleep in. You know, 8 hours, mamish. 2 nights of sleep already. Okay, we'll give it to you, right? But that's it. You know, can you imagine, I'm a loyal servant. Can you imagine, a king calls it a servant. Servant, I need you. He's sleeping. you say, how does this doesn't fit in? How does it fit in? That on Shabbos you're on call 24/7. Okay, so we're human. We have to sleep. Okay, mom. Okay, you gotta sleep. I give it to you. I'll let you sleep at night. It's not that much. You know, king's entitled. The guy said, "Listen, your master. If I don't get it, I can't get. At least give me one night's sleep. I've been working for you the whole 6 days. Fine, I'll let you sleep 7-8 hours. But not the rest of Shabbos. You're my servant. So what are you doing for me? You see, so, but unfortunately, in many Orthodox circles, that's not it anymore. So what's Shabbos? Shabbos is, you know, externally you're keeping Shabbos, although many of the details of halacha they probably don't know anyway. You know, put food in a warm oven on Shabbos, even though the oven's on, they think it's allowed. It's not allowed, whatever. Right? But the whole day long they go to shul and they talk business the whole time in shul. Right? They're talking during davening, and then they're sleeping, and when they're at the Shabbos tables, their mom's talking about everything but holy things. And it's a nice social day. You know, and then they sleep a lot. So that's not being Shomer Shabbos in the spiritual sense. It's not in essence being a Shomer Shabbos. So then, you know, what does that mean? Say they're really not giving in on certain things. So then when it comes in areas of kashrus, you know, we can't chas v'shalom indict anybody, but you could see where they may not be so careful. Well, on the other hand, let's say a Baal Tshuva who may not know all the laws of Shabbos yet. Because they just haven't learned them all. It will take them a while till they know all the laws of Shabbos. But, you know, they'll kosher their home. And the one thing they know, whatever I know, I'm going to do. So even though they're not technically 100% Shomer Shabbos, not yet there, because they have more to learn to become a Shomer Shabbos, then we could assume that their kashrus is excellent. As long as they've taken a course on the laws of kashrus. So you can't kosher their home and they're still ignorant about kashrus and eating their home. So they've got to take at least a minimal amount of classes to know what the laws are, to know at least when to ask a shaila. You have to have enough. That's why we did this year and the managing your mitzvahs. I did a 6-part series. I tried to condense it as small as I could. Right? So I condensed to 6 classes. At least for 6 hours, you gave me 6 hours and I wrote very precise notes. Okay, you got to know that. And then we can, so that's like our standard now. If we kosher a person's home, they have to know those 6 classes, because at least they know when to ask a shaila. All right? So then you could trust and eat in their house. Okay, so you're going to ask, so what about, you know, okay, parents kosher their home, they're not still 100% Shomer Shabbos. Okay, so listen, for certain shalom bias and shalom community, you know, we have to, you know, if we really, but if still they'll have to take the course too. You know, it's interesting, there's a concept, you know, if a person is mamish, given over to a particular mitzvah, you know, in the times of the Talmud, the name is skipping me now, there was a deviant sect of Judaism, not the Karoyim, it's the times of the Gomorrah, Shomronim, there's another term for them. The Kusim. The Kusim, Gomorrah says, although they weren't totally following Torah, but whatever mitzvahs they really kept, they really kept. You know? So a kusi may have a getchka behind his door that you don't know about, an idol behind his door, but they take the mitzvah, they take the mitzvah. So we asked this shiloh to Rav Miller a number of years ago, so he said, if you can sense that they really are committed to kashrus, you know, let's say a parent who koshers a home because of the kids who are religious and won't eat in their house. And they know, the kids catch them, man, all hell's going to break loose. So, you know, so you have certain parents, they may not keep Shabbos, but their mamish, they're dedicated to koshers. Alright, so, you know, you can find cases like that, and each one needs to be deliberated on. It's not so simple. But the point I'm making, but the general, when you're out there in the world, okay, you go out in the world, you're going to a place, and you need to find a place to eat. generally speaking, if the people aren't Shomer Shabbos, you shouldn't be eating in their house. That's your rule. And I understand why that rule is, and that's why, you know, many people, you know, down south won't eat in people's homes up north, even though we said we kosher, because they don't feel they're Shomer Shabbos enough, and therefore they're probably not going to be as careful in their kashrus. So, okay, and they're entitled to feel that way, and they have a basis from which they're doing that. Okay. So that's clear. So that's why, you know, that becomes the label. Are you on side? Shomer Shabbos. And it plays itself out in so many roles, you know, when you're looking for Shidduchim, again, in a conventional sense, you know, a Shomer Shabbos family wants to marry into a Shomer Shabbos family. Because if they have a family Shomer Shabbos, and their kid is probably Shomer Shabbos, I mean, can't guarantee, you have to check more. But, and then they're going to be careful, they're going to be given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvahs. And you can't have two people married to each other if they're not on the same wavelength in that area. You can have one person who's given over to God and one who isn't. How can the marriage work? It's not possible. So that's critical. So now that he says that Shabbos is this mitzvah that shows total dedication, now he's going to say one more thing. There's another mitzvah that shows total dedication. So without looking in, what do you think that other mitzvah is? Tzedakah? What other mitzvah is in the league of Shabbos in terms of total dedication? Taras HaMishpacha? No, it only infringes part of the time. That's it. That's just a particular thing. It's all a particular thing. Okay, you'll never guess it. Okay. So, but it's an interesting question. Look at the bottom. Yeah, that's what he's going to say now. V'yeshnod mitzvah achas sheyesh bo avdus lo pachas mishabbos kodesh. There's another mitzvah that is no less showing this servitude like Shabbos shows. What's that? Limud Torah shebal peh. Learning the oral Torah. Learning a Daf Gemara. Learning a piece of Rambam. Learning a Sefer Halacha. Learning the Mishnah Berurah. Learning Sforim beyond the five books of Moses. Beyond the five books. Learning a good Musar Sefer. Okay, why? Ukiyadua lechol Talmud Chacham. Haraitza leakness of Satorah. We know. Any Talmud Chacham who wants to acquire Torah wisdom. A person who's really serious with his learning now. We're not talking about a person who casually learns 20 minutes a week. Okay, we're talking about a person who's really learning Torah. Here's the point. And shetzarechli hismaser kol kula limud. Because to learn Torah Shebal Peh, to learn the oral law, you have to give yourself totally over to the study. There's no such thing as learning the oral law half-heartedly and coming away with anything. I mean, you're learning the Rambams. Those are learning the Rambams. You find, you know, you learn this Rambam, and then there's a question from a different Rambam. How did he do this? How did he do that? It's hard to remember. Why is this case like this and this case like that, right? And if you really, if we were on a little bit more of a level, you know, we'd be spending hours trying to answer these questions, right? You're learning Hilchos Shabbos. Learning Hilchos Shabbos. How come, you know, go learn Borer. Okay? Go learn Borer. You know, no one wants to learn Borer. It drives you nuts. Well, you know, well, there's a bunch of guidelines. You know, there's four basic conditions for Borer. I mean, there's no such thing as a simple halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. I've yet to find a simple halacha. That's why you notice most rabbis who aren't pulpit rabbis, but teacher rabbis, they don't want to teach halacha. They'd rather do the parsha. You know, when I have to get people to give classes, nobody wants to give a class in halacha. Why? It's so much harder to give a class in halacha. Parsha class is easy. You take an idea, whatever you're in the mood to give, you give. And if you have questions on this, I won't give on this. I'll give on a different part of the parsha. You know, go through a sefer, you know. But to do halacha, and any halacha, you know, there's myriad questions on every aspect. There's machloikas, and there's arguments. How do we come to a resolution? You got to go through. For me to prepare the Mishnah Berurah class takes much more time for me to prepare the Shalom Bayis class. Shalom Bayis class, you know, we learn it, right? The Mishnah Berurah class, I got to look up, and then I say, well, I don't know, maybe there's another opinion. I got to look into Aruch HaShulchan, and then I see there's some argument. Then I got to say, well, how do we finally paskin like? Then I got to go through the latter rabbis. Say, well, come to the final Psak Halacha. And then even then, it may not be so clear. Then I have to call somebody. You know, from everything I learned, I still don't know what the Halacha is. No, that's what it is. That's what learning Halacha is. You know, go try to learn God's Torah. It isn't easy. It really isn't easy. And it goes to the point where the rabbis tell us like this. As it says, Adam ki yamis bohel. There's a phrase that says, if a person dies in his tent, then it talks about the different laws of Tumah that come out of this. But the rabbis learn exegesisly the following concept. Next page, Lamed Vav. V'darshu Chazal, the rabbi's house, what is, they look at it literally. It says, Adam Kiyamas Baal, it says, Zos Chukas, it starts off, Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law from simple meaning in Parshas Chukas. Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the statute of the Torah. A person who dies in his tent, blah, 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 this is what happens. The Gemara in Shabbos says, no, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the statute for a person to be able to learn Torah and to integrate Torah into his life. Which is what? Adam Kiyamas Boel, if a person is willing to die for his Torah. And that's what it says. Ein divra Torah miskaimim, the words of Torah do not remain with a person, ela b'misha meimis atzma leo, unless someone's willing to kill himself over the Torah. Ukedetanya, as it says, b'miyut sheinu b'miyut tzchok, there's 48 ways to acquire Jewish wisdom. There's no other subject matter in the world that requires so many conditions to understand Torah. Right? And that's the sixth parak. The sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, which is the Shabbos before Shavuos, tells us it's called parak Kinyan Torah. It's the parak, the sixth parak, the acquisition of Torah. How do you acquire Torah? 48 ways. And a lot of them are hard. And part of that is what? Limited sleep, limited frivolity. Right? You got, if you want to know Torah, you want to be a Torah Jew to be knowledgeable in Torah, you got to kill yourself for it. It's mamish. Now is that not like impacting on your life? I mean, let's look at it. Wouldn't life be a lot easier if you didn't have to learn Torah? You wouldn't, first of all, you wouldn't have to get up here for 5:45. Hey, you could sleep until seven. You know, it's mamish amachai, right? You wouldn't have stayed. 50 people wouldn't have been in this room last night at 10 o'clock to hear Rabbi Kramer speak. And then many stayed till I don't know what time. I believe I left at 11 and there's still a dozen people here. Right? So, you know, how do you really get Torah? You know, it has to consume you. It has to consume your life because it's so deep and so complex. And that's only from the Torah Shebaal Peh, from the oral law. The written law, you know, isn't such, you know, just read the Chumash, you're laying from the Torah, big deal. But then you start analyzing it and try to figure it out. Go try to figure out a story in the Torah to its ultimate conclusion, and everything's been clarified to you. I mean, there's many stories I still don't know what's going on because I would need hours, you know, for me to really understand certain things. I'd need to sit for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, right? And great rabbis, that's what they did. So Imamish died for your Torah, right? I'll take questions as soon as I finish the paragraph. Va'gadlus b'Torah. And greatness in Torah. I'm talking about people who are great in Torah learning. And great could be on everybody's level. Great could mean, you know, Hilchas Niske Mamam. You know, one set of laws in the Rambam. Just 14 chapters. Right? You can have greatness in that too. Right? Niknis Kefi Midas Avdus. Greatness in Torah is acquired based on the measure of servitude that you're willing to give towards it. Manifloim divrei Chazal, how wondrous are the words of the rabbis, Bezor HaKadosh. The Bezor HaKadosh says, Shetalmud Chacham, hu bebechinas Shabbos. A Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, he has the same attributes, the same aspect of what Shabbos is. If you see a Torah scholar, a real Torah scholar, you're looking at Shabbos. You're looking at Shabbos, because that means somebody gave his life over for this thing. A person who was at, you know, a person who really knows Torah, he has spent a lot of time. You know, not the time they put in to get a university degree, which is a joke. The amount of time to take your four courses, you know, and mamish, and then after by April they're so knocked out they need 4 months off. You know, and that was with a few weeks off in between. You know, okay, judge them favorably. A lot of them have to work during the summers to pay for their things. But, you know, you go to university compared to being in a yeshiva. It's a joke. Go to yeshiva. You know, I'll give you a lazy man's yeshiva schedule. Not the real the real guys who are mamish steiging. Just the average lazy yeshiva bachur. He's got to be a davening at 7:30. Okay? You finish davening at 8:30. Right? Get 15 minutes breakfast, whatever. Clean your room. Okay, now from 9:30 to... I'm trying to remember my schedule. 9:30 to 12:15, you're learning with a chavrusa preparing for the class. Okay? And right? Then from 12:15 to 1:45, you got class. You got lunch. Get a break for an hour. 3 o'clock, you're back for mincha. Then you're starting from 3 to 7. Second Seder. Right? Then you had supper at 8:30. You went till 10 o'clock, another shift. That was a minimal. That was like the minimal. If you didn't do that, they threw you out of yeshiva. If you weren't sitting in the base medrash for 9-10 hours, they just threw you out. That's it. Like you can't come. Finished. Then the guys who really shtayt, right? What do you mean? 7:30. The guys are at 6 o'clock. You know, learning a Musar Seder, this and that, and then shir ended at 1:45, right? So you had lunch for 15 minutes, and you're back in the mishnah from 2 to 3. 2 to 3, you're learning another hour, and then we have an hour between supper and a night seder. Put in another hour, and then when Maariv is over at 10:15, you at least learn till 12 o'clock. So, I mean, those are like the good guys. Those guys who manage to give themselves, they don't do anything else, but they learn the whole day. They're learning, right? So that's mamish giving yourself over. So he's saying shebelimud haTorah yesh es avdu shel Shabbos mamish. The real learning of Torah that really has the servitude of Shabbos, literally, right? So now I can understand when the Zohar also says that Shabboses were only given for us to do what on Shabbos? To sing shiros v'sishpachos, to daven and praise to God, and to learn Torah. That's what Shabbos was given for. Then it's the servitude with it. The two servitude mitzvahs are done at the same day. You know, so let's say, you know, you're a balabas and you're not fortunate. You weren't privileged to have a yeshiva education like this. And I wasn't able to learn 10, 12 hours a day for a good part of my life. Okay. So now at least now, as you come later in life, you're coming back to Hashem, you can still show that you're a servant to Hashem by doing Shabbos the way it was meant to be done. And then you're spending every free time on Shabbos studying Torah. Because now you got avdus of avdus. You got a double portion of showing you're totally dedicated to Hashem. And you're learning the hard stuff, not the easy stuff. You know, not the entertaining stuff. The half-hour drush on Shabbos. That's entertainment. All right? But you sit in the afternoon and now you're spending 2-3 hours. Now I'm going to go over, you know, we learned that. That's what Shabbos meant for Chazara. Review. What did you learn during the week? And you got a lot of questions. You don't have time to answer every question. Shabbos, you sit and you go through. And you till it's clear. And you don't stop till you... Everything I learned is now clear. It's not what you get, right? So they tell the story, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is a beautiful story. Was it Chafetz Chaim? I think it was Chafetz Chaim. About this idea of Adam Kiyomus Bohel. What's this? You got to kill yourself. Got to kill yourself for Torah. But the truth is, really, you got to kill yourself. Right? So they tell the story of a fellow who is a fairly ignorant Jew. He gets on in life. And he has a store. But he's getting older and he realizes that it's soon going to be time for the long journey. And he has to prepare. He has to prepare a little bit for the long journey. So what does he do? So after, he was a Jew, went to shul every day. So after shul, he decided, you know, the rabbi's giving a class. He's going to stay for an hour. Stays for an hour, learn a little more. And then the hour turns into 2 hours, turns into 3 hours, turns into 4 hours. And now he doesn't come home from shul till noon. So the wife says, like, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm learning Torah. He says, what are you talking about? We've got customers in the store that are coming by 10 o'clock, you know. They want to buy material, this and that. You're not there. And I don't know. I'm only there to take care of, you know, easy things. I can't. Anyway, it becomes a bit of a shown bias problem. So, okay, what does the wife do? She goes to the Rav. She goes to the Rav and says, Rav, you know, we've got a big shown bias problem. He says, so what's the thing? He says, well, just look what my husband's doing. He's doing, you know, it's mamish not nice. People come to the store, they want to get service, and he's not there. So what are we going to do? So Rabbi said, let me ask you a question. What would happen if tomorrow, God forbid, the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, came to your house and said, I'm taking your husband? You're going to start arguing with him? You're going to say, well, you can't do that. We have customers coming tomorrow. you know, we have big orders that are arriving, and he's the only one who knows how to intake those orders. So you come back on a weekend. You know, he comes to Malchamovitz, come to Angel of Death. You know, he comes. So I'll tell you what, every morning you pretend the Malchamovitz has come to your house, and he's taking your husband. That's it, he's gone. He's dead. But Baruch Hashem, by noon, he'll be a Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. He's alive now. He came back to life. And if you look at it, that he's dead until noon, but he's alive afterwards, there'll be no Shalom Bayis problems. So what's the point? The point is that when a person is learning Torah, this is what learning Torah has to be. When a person is learning Torah, that's what it says. A person is obligated to kill himself for learning of Torah. What does it mean to kill himself for learning Torah? When you're learning Torah, you have to look at it as if you're dead to the rest of the world. When you're open in front of a sefer now, or when you're learning with a chavrusa, you're learning Gemara, whatever you're learning, you are dead to the rest of the world. There's no other existence except this Torah sefer. That means for sure, when you're in a class, you don't have the cell phone on, for goodness sake. You know, as soon as cell, you're dead. You're dead. Finished. You're only one thing. You're focused on one thing. I got to learn this Torah. Okay, we're not talking chas v'shalom, an emergency. Someone knocks on the door. Your kid fell off the roof. You got to take him to the hospital. Chas v'shalom. We're not talking about that. But believe me, 99% of the things that spouses call each other on the cell phone, believe it or not, life and death matters. I'm just calling. When you're finished with your class, can you maybe go to Sobeys and pick me up a salami? Chleis, I need it, you know. And if he doesn't pick up the salami, I mean, I'm not, it's a nice thing. But for that, you have to interrupt the learning. You know, it's so unnerving. You're in the middle of a class, and you're mamish, you're working on a concept, right? You're mamish, we're getting into a good piece, and we're rammish, and the cell phone rings. Person has to go out of the room, and they come back to me and say, they're finished, they've blown the class. You know, you missed 2-3 minutes, critical minutes. You know, you missed it. You're out of luck. But you have to, well, it's so important. Okay, I'm not saying every time. Sometimes, you know, your mom, even then, you know, there's a babysitter, maybe, you know, 99.9% of them when the babysitter calls, it's not important. What do I do? Sprintzachan is still crying because he gave the ball. So she'll cry for another half an hour. My goodness, you never heard a kid cry in their lives? You know, kids cry. Baby, what do I do? She's crying. So she's crying. Let her cry. Did you check her diet? You know, get these calls. Like, so you don't call me unless Sprint Sachana, God forbid, fell off the banister. Then you call me. Yeah, she's crying. You know, it's like unbelievable.
What a baby does.
So I'm just saying. So when you're learning Torah, you got to be focused on the learning, like 100% focused on the learning. Every brain cell has to be focused on. There's nothing else I'm doing when I'm learning Torah. If I want to be able to understand what I am learning, I've got to be totally focused. There's nothing else going on in my life. And that's mamish total servitude to Torah. It's mamish total servitude. There's no other way. There's no other way you find people who are successful. You know, many Bali Tshuva, when they start going on their way, after a while, they want to learn Torah, but then they start to stall. Why did they start to stall? Because the Torah they learned when they were about in the first stage was interesting, was entertaining, it was enjoyable, but it comes to a state where we stop the joy and we get to real work. You really want to know how to keep Shabbos, you're going to have to bust your brains to really understand what it means to keep Shabbos. You really want to understand certain midos developments, you want to know Hilchos Lashon Hara, boy, it is not easy. You want to know anything to be a Jew, it's not easy. You can do it, but you got to apply yourself. Also, when it comes to application stage, unfortunately, many people fall off the rails because, you know, it's not fun anymore. Because that's that next point of a Baal Tshuva's life. The Baal Tshuva who say, you know, I'm willing to change my life, but it still can't totally infringe on my lifestyle. That's better than not. Much better. I keep Shabbos. You know, they don't go to work. Baruch Hashem. But there comes that stage, and you have many stages in a Baal Tshuva's life. When are you prepared to let God's life be so invasive in my life that I'm a total servant to Hashem? And that's where you could see. You could see it. You could see it a mile away in people. And I don't mean it as a negative. And that's usually, if they can't make that jump, then what ultimately happens is they don't grow anymore. And then when they stop growing, then they retard spiritually, and then they become negative. It's a rule every time. If you can't get a Baal Tshuva to get a steady cycle of learning, if they can't get to that daily, not to, you give them time, but if you can't get to that daily learning, or at least 3-4 times a week learning, forget it. You're not, they're never going to get that stage. And that's the same with the FFBs. When you learned it in a nice day school, in a high school, and if you're not learning every day, ain't going to work either. So it should be zoicha that this coming Shabbos, we should get a little bit more effort to realize now to see what the goal of being the servant for Shabbos is all about.